Hello, humans. This week on Emerge, my guest is Fernanda Ibarra. And she's joining me on the show because I kept seeing this cryptocurrency project called Holochain appearing all over my radar. People were telling me about it. I was seeing it just in all kinds of strange places. And I have been following the cryptocurrency scene for some time. And Holochain is a very unique project. It is not trying to capitalize on the recent, profitability of cryptocurrencies. Instead, it's the result of over 10 years of deeply thoughtful people inquiring into the nature of currency and energy and human sovereignty. And that deep thoughtfulness is reflected in the team and the mission and what they are trying to accomplish with this technology that is called Holochain. And I could feel that, but I couldn't quite tell what it was that was being attempted with this technology. And so I reached out to Fernanda, and I think you'll see that this conversation did a wonderful job, at least for me, of making it quite clear how radical a technology Holochain might be and how it could become one of the core layers of the sort of tools that will build a more beautiful future for humanity. And so I really, really appreciate the thoughtfulness, the alignment, and the integrity that I see coming out of the Holochain project. And I myself will be attending the Denver Hackathon, Holochain Hackathon, which is, I think it's July 13th. But if you search for Denver Holochain Hackathon, you can find it. So I'll be attending that. Would love to see anybody who's, hearing my words. I'd love to meet up in person. I'm going to be going and just checking out the scene and connecting with the folks there, because I see this as such a interesting and important and fertile technology. Okay, so without further ado, please enjoy this episode of Emerge with Fernanda Ibarra. Okay, welcome to another episode of Emerge. This week, my guest on the show is Fernanda Ibarra, and we're going to talk a little bit about a project that you may or may not have heard of, but which has been coming up on my radar over and over and over again, and that project is Holochain. And so we're going to approach this from a couple of different vantage points and just sort of talk about it, try to demystify it, because I found it to be pretty confusing or kind of hard to penetrate at times. But I think it's really significant. I have that sense, and I'm hoping that we can kind of make that sense into something pretty clear and something that we can really sink our teeth into. And so, Fernanda, welcome to Emerge. So happy to have you here.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be with you and with your audience. Thank you for inviting me.
Great. And so maybe you could just say a little bit about your background and how you came to be involved with Holochain before we get into the kind of nitty-gritty or perhaps abstract investigation of what Holochain is.
My pleasure. Well, I've been part of the Metacurrency Project for more than a decade. So I've been working with Arthur Brock and Eric Harris Brown since, you know, more than 10, 12 years. And so Holo and Holochain are children of the Metacurrency Project. So that's how it emerged. And my contact from with that came from my interest on collective intelligence and seeing how we need new economic systems to be able to actually go there to a beautiful human collective intelligence where everybody can be bounty and abundant and healthy.
Beautiful. And I maybe I've seen this come up a number of times. What is the Metacurrency Project? What was its goal and how did it come to produce the project we call Holochain?
Well, the Metacurrency Project still exists and it's like the underlying philosophy behind Holo and Holochain. We have developed a strong frameworks on based upon living systems and what we call currencies or different levels of wealth, which means for us, we want to create every one of our tools and businesses around the principles of living systems. So we studied that and we came with some principles that we use in our design. That's how Holochain is a tool that is kind of a biomimicry tool for information architecture.
Okay, cool. So we'll unpack that, but I just want to highlight for listeners, you know, how this is already so substantially different than a lot of the projects we see in the crypto space that, you know, we might argue are kind of a response to market incentives, whereas Holochain is the product of 10 years of deep inquiry into like the nature of the movement of energy in natural systems, it seems, and other very important kind of philosophical and epistemological investigations. And so like just that much to know, you know, you should know that we're kind of stepping into a slightly different space than another maybe, you know, forecasting crypto project or something like that. So all that being said, please.
You totally nailed it. And let me enter that because it excites me what you just said. You mentioned different than other cryptos is because, you know, for we've been in this space of creating cryptocurrencies for more than a decade. I mean, the Bitcoin paper was not even in nowhere where we were already speaking about millions of currencies, people that we would see emerging and people would look at us like, are you insane? And for us, it was a natural part of evolution. But we, you know, what I wanted to say is that cryptocurrency is much more than tokens and it has a certain sophistication to its design that most people in the cryptocurrency space do not understand. And that's part of why it goes into a very reductionist type of space of creating tokens for these, tokens for that, and tokens tokenizing everything and token economics. For us, currencies are not tokens, are actually currencies, which are ways to see a flow, to make visible, enable, or change flow. And we can unpack that. But if you think about living systems exist because of the flows, not because of the objects. So for us, learning to flows and in economic terms, learning what are the economic incentives that make things move is important for us. And that's the basics of our cryptocurrency design, which is not only about trading products and services. It's also things like reputation, right? That are really important and visible these days and consider forms of currencies, but yet not able to enter the cryptocurrency space. But that's part of where we're going.
Beautiful. And so, I mean, even in just hearing you kind of open that up, I'm hearing that it's not even just a different philosophy. It's a different almost ontology about how the world exists that you're perhaps even embedding in a system like Holochain. And it, you know, it's interesting to consider that because it's also the case that, you know, there's an ontology and a philosophy sort of embedded in our current monetary system. And so maybe that might be a good place to start with. Let's unpack this idea of like an economy with an invisible architecture, what's going on when we think about something like money in that case? Mm.
Yeah, what I hear behind that is like, how do we create a life-affirming economy? And with the current monetary system that is super violent, we can't. You know, we can use money for good, right? We change the flow, right? We change the way in which we use it. So instead of creating downward spirals of scarcity and extraction, we can create beautiful upward spirals of life and you know, give to charities and to people. But that doesn't change the system itself. And it doesn't change the fact that our monetary system is based upon on scarcity, and that it's based upon debt. And because of that design, then we have the outcomes that we see. So that is what makes an invisible architecture an invisible architecture, which is a word that comes, you know, that from collective intelligence. And it's like from our study of collective intelligence and saying, you know, invisible architectures are like the DNA of any person. It will determine the qualities of that organism. So if you think about social organisms, like organizations, institutions, communities, then the DNA is determined by those architectures, which are invisible, not because they are invisible, but because we're not trained to see them. Mm. And because we're not trained to see them, then of course we create architectures that don't produce the social outcomes that we want to see. Mm. Money, in this case, is a perfect example of an invisible architecture that, because of the way it's designed, it will produce things like greed, ambition, and power over territory, ownership, you know, things like that. Or even turning amazingly abundant things like knowledge into scarcity with copyright to be able to sell it, things like that.
Mm. Yeah. So it reminds me of Douglas Rushkoff does a really good job of deconstructing how it is that our monetary system and economic system sort of was designed at a particular period in time on behalf of particular stakeholders. And it's not surprising now that we look around the world and there's this vast inequality when it comes to resources, and a kind of just insanity when it comes to how that economic system depletes the natural world. And so it sounds like you're saying that Holochain is the kind of dynamics that y'all have built arise from an acknowledgement of the importance of these kinds of invisible architectures in society. Is that right?
Yes, we do want to create architectures that are life-affirming. And so we need tools that would help us do that. And those tools then will, with those tools, we'll be able to create other applications that will then help communities and people to connect with the different ways of coordinating our actions or cooperating or exchanging value. And so, you know, Holochain is an architecture, right? Mm. It's like blockchain for Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Holochain is going for other kinds of currencies, like mutual credit kind of currencies. So it is a tool, it's not a goal, but the goal is to be able to create ways for that dream of decentralization that many, many, many have, to make it easy and to make it real and to make it go mainstream.
I'm curious, one thing that comes to mind as you're speaking about this, like, dream of decentralization is, you know, I organized with Occupy Wall Street, and I think there was a kind of fetishizing of decentralization that sometimes cost us our ability to actually achieve our purpose. And I'm curious, like, not to get too into the weeds or anything, but how does the Holochain architecture, if it does, kind of guard against the pathologies of too much decentralization?
Well, first, I would like to understand what you mean by too much decentralization.
Yeah, well, I think in what I was thinking of is just that without sort of organizing structures that help systems make sense and kind of have a shared purpose and move forward together, that it's often the case that they become kind of incoherent and ineffectual, is my experience. But that's on the level of right. That's on a certain level of the system. So it might not even be relevant. I don't know in this case.
Well, maybe that's not decentralization. Maybe that's bad decentralization, right? Mm. Like if we have, I think part of the problem is that we don't have visibility, for example, like you said, Occupy. So what if we would have had a tool that would help us share the rules of the game, maybe the social agreements of being in the space? And that then when people arrive, they know what are the social agreements. And if people break those social agreements, everybody knows. The thing is that we could not scale decentralization. By the time that Occupy happened, it was not possible to scale. How was a tool for governance? How could you know what decisions were made? How could you know what was the flows of resources coming from and where were it going? How could you manage the free riders or people in the space that were there to disrupt the space? How could you, you know, so there was the intent was so beautiful and so pure, and yet they did not have the right tools to be able to manage the complexity that was arising. So what if we have the possibility to design those tools? And in that moment, you know, holochain or even blockchain or those distributed ledger systems didn't exist. And part of why they exist is for us to be able to do that. So every agent, and that's one of the aspects of holochain that's so important in our design, is what we call agent-centric. So we believe in sovereignty of the individual, but to be accountable for their actions to the collective. So, you know, the agents are the ones that will decide what they connect to, what's important to them, yet they have to be accountable to a collective. It's not invisible trustlessness, nothing. It's actually me becoming able to get whatever I want to get mine, is one of our principles, but grow ours. It's perfectly okay that you can have what you need for meeting to meet your needs. And high level needs, but it's important that you grow ours.
Yeah, that's so, I mean, that's just so beautiful. The tensions that you pointed to, you know, collective decision making, dealing with bad actors, like those were the very real reasons why that phenomenon of Occupy Wall Street didn't get as far as it might have. And so the idea that we could have a technological infrastructure that might actually help us get traction with those problems is extremely exciting. Like if you've ever tried to facilitate a consensus-based decision-making meeting of more than, say, 12 people, you will know, you know, how difficult it can be to have equitable and beautiful expressions of collective intelligence without some other innovation. And so it's very cool. And is that actually like that kind of thinking went into how you all thought about and designed this this technology?
Absolutely, because it's about living systems. So if you see how living systems coordinate their actions, it's just amazing, right? I mean, about all the underlying flows that make nature being alive and that they share in regards to information, like all the mycelia, all the fungi, right, that know when the light and they extract the light and they keep it and then they be able to distribute it to the whole system, even the small tree that is besides the big tree that gives that has a lot of shadow, he would still get the energy from the mushroom. They will know all these things. And so they have a beautiful coordination of the flows. And we don't, you know, one of the principles of collective intelligence that is so essential to anyone designing these kind of systems for humanity is the concept of holopticism, which is how every part is able to see the whole. So at the same time as, you know, we have the world championship of football right now, right? So what if any of the players will be blindfolded? they, even if it's the best player in the world, they would be the worst player in the world because they won't have a way to coordinate with what the where the hole, where the different players are to position themselves in the where they can go and do that goal. Right? They won't, because they will be blindfolded. They would lose holopticism. Mm. So what happens is that as players in this human game, we don't have that holopticism. We don't have the visibility of what is going on. We don't know when we buy something, where does it come from? And because we don't know, we cannot make informed actions. Decisions. So visibility helps us. Visibility is our friend, and we want to be able to not to measure everything, but to be able to make the most things visible to the persons that to the people that matters, that those things that are visible matter to, which is the difference with blockchain. Blockchain wants to make visible everything, but that's not how nature works. The cells have the instructions of the DNA, they have it in them. They don't need to know what every cell is doing. They just have their instruction set. Mm. If they would have to have every information of every cell on what every cell is doing, it would be absolutely dysfunctional. So Holochain is programmed to do exactly that. So that if you are in your town and you want to make decisions, you don't want to make decisions with what's happening in the other zone of town. What matters to you is what happens in your neighborhood. Mm. How are the gardens being treated? How is the park? How is the safety with children? How is the, who has lemons, that excess of lemons to distribute to the neighborhood? Who, those kind of things are close to you. So as an agent, you can decide what is the kind of signals that you need to make more informed decisions. And if you, by any means, your brother-in-law lives in the other side and you also care about that, you can make the decision to have that visible to you. Mm. So it's like nature works with perfect signal systems and receptors that just capture that signal and know exactly what is the next action and how they can perform better for the whole.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, and as you speak about it and kind of fill it out for me, I'm starting to see the elegance of this system. And I think I'm noticing two aspects that for me are increasingly functioning as kind of proof of significance. And that's one is elegance, and the other is that it's kind of biomimicry, that you really intentionally sort of almost reverse engineered some of these aspects, it sounds like, from the natural world. I wonder, maybe you could just go into that a little bit more. Like, what did you see in the natural world that led you to design Holochain the way that you did?
Hmm. Well, I mentioned some of that, how the flows work is essential. And that's why for us, currency is important, because it'll help us shape and enable and make flows visible. And so in that regard, for example, a currency, a cryptocurrency will help us manage our flows of products and services, right? Mm-hmm. Yet it doesn't help us with reputation. We need another currency to be able to see reputation. And it's a big debate on how do you design good reputation systems? Mm-hmm. And yet, that we can go there after, but to continue to work on what we're inspired about, principles like interdependence and interconnectedness, or uniqueness, and how nature is so good in working with different levels of uniqueness. Mm. So it's at the same time, it honors diversity, but it's also so good in coordinating your uniqueness. So we want people to be able to see think ecosystems. So, sometimes we say I don't fit in that culture. Well, cactuses don't really fit in a rainforest. There's no problem. Find the rainforest, find the desert, and you'll thrive if you're a cactus. But you will have to find where that culture is so that you're able to find your right fitness into it. Mm. And so those are really important principles. Or the get mine, grow ours is really important because we see that in nature. I mean, I haven't seen any plant hoarding sugar into a bank in Switzerland, right? So we don't see that. and they all have their meaningful purpose. So that mutualism is another one of the concepts, or efficiency. So there are many, generosity, how generous and abundant natural systems are. And also seeing some of the things that belong to us that are we don't see in nature, like, for example, normative culture, identity, things like that. but we think that by designing a tool that would allow for people, think about color chain like DNA, that then you can create any forms you want. Mm. Like we really wanting to create the possibility for people to then come and use a tool to create all sorts of beautiful things that would allow for people not only to have fun, because there will be fun things like some people in our team are working with a decentralized Pong and have that been absolutely entertaining and amazing and fun. It's not going to change the world, but it's going to entertain and a lot of people. But we have other people working in governance systems and how people make decisions visible within groups, or we have people working on smaller problems like file sharing in a decentralized manner, or a Slack that is distributed, or a Twitter that is decentralized. And also I can decide and have my little Twitter inside my organization of 20 and decide to use it for holopticism. You know, it's like the amount of forms that are going to explode out of this, yes, is just like it's already happening. It's already overwhelming, and not able to track all of it, but we are able to focus on very specific things that we believe will have an impact in a four bottom line, you know, purpose, people, planet, and in this case, you could consider profit if you want to have triple piece, but profit seen in a different manner. Mm. Profit seen not as mine for to profit from, but as money or financial capital that is not only money, it can also be other kinds of assets and crypto assets that bring freedom for us to be able to create even more good, even more beauty in the world.
Mm. Oh my, well, so there's so many different. So I guess for the first thing I'm curious about is what you're seeing on the kind of near-term horizon as far as specific projects within the Holochain ecosystem that are particularly interesting or beautiful from your perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, we have a project as part of the philosophy of Holochain, as I shared before, and metacurrency. You know, one of the things that is different, and I'm going to get us a little bit into another realm, which is the realm of our ethical ICO. Because for us to do an ethical ICO and break the pattern, it was challenging, right? I mean, many people would tell us, what, you won't do a private sale? You won't sell to all the crypto whales? No. You won't give discounts to them? No. You won't do this? No. You know, anything that looks like extraction, we have like, you know, we don't want it. Because we want to be able to create a different pattern. And we're very honest about that, because we believe in us all together changing the world, and that we right now need to harness the monetary flows of financial capital to be able to create the world we want. Mm. So we are clear on how we want to be able to help other communities to self-capitalize through a pattern that we discovered as being very generative and beautiful. And it was a big, big, big mountain to climb, but we did it. And we did it with the help of many, 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 many community members in 62 countries with a very, very low average of investment per person that shows us that the community is ready, that we, the movement, capitalize ourselves, that we, you know, fabulous adventure capitalists can come, and we need all of us, 100% of us, but there's enough money around for the people to capitalize what we believe is the world that, as Charles Einstein says, the most beautiful world that our heart believes it's possible. Mm-hmm. And so You know, from that space, we're creating another project that is called the Commons Engine. And that is a service organization that will help to do exactly what I just named, which is to help other communities to self-capitalize or to be able to do, to bring manuals and workshops and toolkits for a do-it-yourself holochain, a do-it-yourself decentralization, a do-it-yourself sharing economy, a do-it-yourself building the commons. And to be able to create templates for augmenting our collective intelligence, because, you know, we don't have the operational capacity to help many, but we do have the possibility to share what we learned and to not only that, but to be able to be generous in whatever it is that we create. So the Commons Engine right now has a strong focus on regenerative agriculture. Mm-hmm. We really want to change the food systems of the world. Everybody eats, right? So that's something that we believe it's a tangible way that we can bring these tools to the mainstream. We are supporting different organizations that are going to bring in next months, like distributed supply chain with Holochain. That's Producers Market, and they're doing a beautiful work on working in behalf of the farmers, in behalf of the producers. And there's another one, Just One Organics, that has beautiful crystals that they produce. They can work with wasted food, like the food that doesn't go to the market because it's not pretty, because it's small. And they convert it into these just yummy crystal flakes, and that can be saved for 7 years, and it doesn't lose its nutritional value. And we're helping them to design asset-backed cryptocurrency based on food to be able to help farmers to capitalize themselves. So instead of going to the bank, they can capitalize themselves. And then, you know, they get into positive balance when they sell their seconds to Just One Organics. So instead of just wasting that, they'll be able to work with that and work with us so that we can convert their food and even, you know, help more people, because that, you know, Just One doesn't need that amount of capital. They can also be able to channel some of that food into refugee camps, veterans, hospitals, you know, things like that. So those two are one of my key projects for the next year, year and a half, to have impact in the world through Holochain and show how we can do magnificent cryptocurrencies designed for the good of the whole.
Wow. You all are not messing around. This is amazing. This is incredible. I don't know where to go from here except to just exclaim, like, when I hear something that is designed from a place of beauty and appreciation of the natural world, that, and you all just had your, like, you know, ethical ICO, it was mere months ago, and you're already kind of moving towards boots on the ground, improving the lives of, in this case, farmers. Like, holy cow. I guess I'll just say holy cow. That's incredible.
Yes, we don't have time, right? We know that we all have to activate whatever thing that we can do to make this world a better place. And that's why it's so exciting about decentralization, because for me, it's like giving people the tool to be able to become creators. So it's like, you know, we talk a lot about composability. It's like if the notes of music notes did not exist, can you imagine all we would be missing? But if you grab something like the alphabet, or you bring something like the notes of music, then it's infinite things that you can create with that. So our purpose is to give people those tools. Because what would be a Mozart without a piano? So it's like, okay, here's Holochain, social architects, change makers, go create, people changing financial technologies, people creating impact in the world, go do, people creating new experiences of how we can create unification of consciousness through a Pong decentralized game, go do it. People, you know, it's like, so here we are to make to be able to offer something that is an underlying layer for you to be able to put anything on top that you can imagine, where you want human beings coordinating and creating and communicating in a ways that right now are mostly in our imagination, and many of them are starting to show up. But you know, one of my inspiration is Eric Harris Brown, that he says, when I everything's gonna change. He says, when he's asked that question, what will change? He said, absolutely everything. I just don't know exactly how it will show up. When I look into the window just right now, what will be different? Right? Transportation systems. How are people gonna transport themselves? And if you think about that with the convergence of other technologies, because Holochain is compatible with Unity, so it's going to be compatible with, you know, with virtual reality and augmented reality. And it's like, wow, people, go play, build your extraordinary things that can help us all to create a beautiful world.
That's so beautiful. And it's so in alignment with what I'm seeing as a kind of like new North Star for humanity, which is just to create the conditions for like robust creativity and emergence at all levels. And robust means being aware that this is a finite planet, right? So we can't do it the way we've been doing it. And it sounds like you all are so clued in to how to create this such that it really starts to unlock that capacity of like infinite creativity that's sort of the birthright of each human being.
Yeah, indeed. And you said finite game, right? This is a finite, if we continue doing what we're doing, this is a finite planet, finite game. And so one of our major philosophies comes from the book Finite and Infinite Game from James Carr. And we find it immensely beautiful because it's really telling us that we need to create infinite games, that we can change the agreements and the rules just because we want to keep playing, and that we can do that together. So we want to build systems with Holochain where people can be constantly changing the rules of the game because they adapt to the contexts. That's another principle of living systems. That's why we are not super passionate about smart contracts, because, you know, it's like very deterministic. It's like after A happens B, happens C. I mean, that can happen in a lot of environments, but not in all environments. You know, it's like, how do you know that the farmer is going to have the right conditions? What if that year rains too much and he cannot really pull his harvest? And he's already in a smart contract that says that he has to deliver whatever tons of food. You know, it's like we have to be able to create things that receive the right signals and adapt so that we can create infinite games. So, you know, in our designs for regenerative agriculture, we have to consider how can we support farmers when they have a bad year? We do that together. Instead of saying, oh, you know, poor farmer, well, why don't you put your house in, you know, just like go to the bank and ask for money and do that and then pay your people and then find a place where you can live, whatever. They go into such a high amount of risk for all of us. It's just that how can we take responsibility, all of us, for that in a way that makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just sounds so sane, like deeply sane. And it's beautiful the way that I feel like that you're describing it just kind of cuts through so much of the confusion of what's going on right now. It's like, oh, okay, so we create better invisible architectures, in this case using Holochain, and then a more beautiful world will kind of just emerge quite naturally.
Yes, there's this, thank you for that. It's like, what can we take care of without controlling? Can we lose control and just think about providing the right set of agreements and social codes and architectures, like our economics, right? It matters. That's why cryptos have to be well designed, because otherwise they'll create bad incentives and wrong architectures, and that will then produce the social outcomes that we do not want to see. We work with the water. It's like this story of this guy that goes to this house, and he says he sees a beautiful fish tank, and he says, "Wow, you take care of fish." And he says, "No, I take care of the water. The fish take care of themselves." So what are the right conditions for that water so that fish can take care of themselves in the way that produces good truthness and beauty? Right? Truth as a reality principle, as science, as that which shows us if this is, you know, this is makeup is really working and making me young or not. If this is, that helped me track if these shoes that I'm wearing are not coming from Indian boys that were paid $1 a day, or that, you know, all these kinds of things that are the truth of a system and that produce goodness, meaning connected to community, that benefit everyone, where the primary from the prime resource of a certain product, all the life cycle of the supply chain until it becomes waste, and what happens with that, and then beauty, the expression of the self in all of this, the magnificence of aesthetics and beauty, that you go and say, "Wow, this is beautiful." Like some brands do it really well, but not all of them. And I would say not many of them, but you know, goodness, truth, and beauty is one of the aspects that we emphasize in what we do. We really want to see those three things being expressed through the things that people create out in the world, and we're just doing our small part.
It's so beautiful that such a beautiful thing could be created by observing nature.
Yeah, nature is our partner, and we thanks God for the human intelligence, right, that has the possibility of observing. And in that regard, you know, we're very inspired by the work of Paul Crafoel, and he wrote this book called Seeing Nature, and the way that he sees nature is like, wow, you know, he works with small flows. He says you change one flow, you change everything. So when you are inside an organization, you can say, what are the flows that don't really work? Oh, wow, well, communication is not really working. Okay, how do I work with that? How do I make this flow better? And then you come out with a tool or with a currency that will help you do that. Provide a particular solution for that. Just as Paul Crafoel went out he revitalized a whole mountain just by changing with one small hand tool all the flows of small flows of a river. With one tool, one person. You know, so it's like we learn to observe those flows in our families. What is not working? What flows are not working? Or what are dissonant? Another example with Occupy, they brought Arthur Brock and they said, hey, you know, we really need a currency because we want something that, you know, we have all these people that bring food and we have all these people that come and volunteer for cooking and we want to be able to pay them and to be able, and Art said, well, but that flow is working, right? I mean, it's one of the flows that it's actually working. And they said, yes, that's working. So why do you want a currency if the flow is already working? You know, so provide tools for those flows that are not working. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I'm getting this kind of vision of people or individuals who become these kinds of adaptive flow sensing machines who kind of like enter into different contexts, feel, you know, with all their different capacities, where flows are constricted or where they might be released or whatever. And then they create things using an assemblage of technology based on Holochain to kind of facilitate flow. And then I imagine using Holochain that the value that they create will somehow circulate through them as well so that they can eat and, you know, continue to be alive and all that sort of thing. Is that a vision that's in alignment with what y'all are doing, or am I crazy?
You got it. You have the brain of a social, of an architect, I can tell. I mean, yes, I think that actually, if we think about humanity and we say that we're not, that a paradigm, there's paradigm shifts and there's expression capacity shifts, and that we need to move from an object-centric vision of the world into a flow-centric vision of the world. So our mind doesn't really help with that because it separates objects, right, constantly, because we need to understand, and it puts it in boxes. But instead, we have to free our mind, free our observation, our contemplation of nature, contemplation of social dynamics, and start thinking and being able to make flows visible to ourselves so that we can then start designing from that place. So you absolutely nailed it. And when we say expression capacity versus paradigm shifts, it's like, you know, when we realized that the world was not flat, it took probably decades for people to really bring that into their consciousness and to then start thinking differently because we were not the center of the universe. But it took years, and that's like a fundamental paradigm shift. But expression capacity is like going from phonemes to the alphabet to sentences, to full books and poetry, to radio, to internet, to, you know, every time we have a new tool, we have a new expressive capacity. So what Holochain is enabling is a new expressive capacity for humanity to be able to create the world our heart knows is possible.
So beautiful.
I'm so honored that you see it and that we can have the possibility to bring this conversation out in the world and then be able to share with people and be loud and say, hey, come play with us. One of the things that has bringing me to a lot of humbleness is to see our community. People, because the way we did things and the ethical ICO, people really feel ownership on the success of Holochain and Holo. And they like it. They like to know their investors in it. Or, you know, just not the right word even. It's like they are part of it. They are founders of it. They are co-creators of it. They are, you know, the participants of this dream. And they create memes and images and ways of working with the logo that really triggers their imagination, and so it's time for us. That really tells us that it's time for this to happen. You know, sometimes there's king ideas that don't make it because of the not in the right timing, and this is a king idea for the right timing. And we saw it as well with Holo, which is holo.host, is the first scalable app that we are creating, which is a decentralized hosting system powered by Holochain. And so when we first began this journey, we started with Holo because we thought that it would be amazing to bring people into having a way to participate in sharing economy together, and to be able to bring a cryptocurrency to life, we needed Holo. So the way it works is that, you know, you have your holoport and we actually sold like 2,000 of them as well in about 62 countries. And by having your holoport, you'll be able to host different types of applications. So what we're doing is creating a decentralized hosting system for all these applications that are going to be powered by Holochain. In that way, we're creating the data commons. We're really telling you own your data, Daniel. And nobody can have any ownership on that. If you are going to play in a fitness app, they're not going to be able to sell it to an insurance company. So rest assured that whatever that you share is what you want to share. And if people want to actually have your information and welcome advertisement, they'll have to ask your permission. And you might even get an income out of that because it's time. It's time that the value that we can provide gets back to us. It's time that we can feel safe with our data because there's so much data, right, out in the world to play. Right now, it's like we have abundance, meta abundance of data. We don't have a lot of abundance of atoms. You know, we have to be able to recycle anything we can and to work with little atoms. We have somehow more abundance of energy, but we have a lot of data. So what are we going to do with it? And can we own it? Because, you know, if we follow the analogy of the global brain, it's awesome that the internet can be seen as the global brain, but we don't own the brain. Mm. Amazon owns the brain, you know, other corporate servers own the brain, or, you know, we own the mind, if you will. But to own the brain, we need our own carrier. We need to be able to have a way where our data is safe. So we need to start to think about in that infrastructure. And so Holo is the beginning of that infrastructure. It's not the whole thing, but is the beginning. And we're thinking about how we mobilize certain wealth inequalities, right? Things that, wow, all these trillions of dollars that used to go to that to corporate servers can now go to people. In the same way that trillions of dollars that used to go to hotels are now going to people. Differences that now by removing the middleman, people can decide what they do with that percentage that the companies used to stay with. And they can decide to build the commons together. So, you know, Holo, we are staying with a 1% of transactions, while Uber, I think, keeps like 25% of transactions. And that's because we want to be able to operate and to be able to bring more services for the community and to be able to create this in a way that actually works for everyone. So we need to back to the question of the right amount of centralization, right? So the right amount of having some centralized intelligence that will take care for the commons that actually has the responsibility to make that happen. But the accountability is not to our wallets. You know, the accountability is to the commons.
Yeah. Yeah. And oh my gosh, the as you just kind of fill out and kind of confirm what I've seen in my own research, it's just so clear the depth of integrity that you all are coming from. And it's amazing how that cuts through the noise. You know, there's so much noise in the crypto world and just in the world in general. But Holochain is one of the few things that it seems like the more I learn about it, the more I trust it. Whereas in many cases, the more I learn about something, the more fishy I kind of feel towards it, you know? And it's just, it's so amazing to see this project emerge out of such deep thoughtfulness and kind of deep humanity.
Yes, that's our big aspiration and our biggest of hope. Because we come from that place. You know, we come from the place of many people ask, why did you take so long to launch? And it was like, well, we didn't want anyone to own this technology. So we really couldn't accept money from anyone. And there's not exactly a lot of people that are wanting to give us money without owning that technology. But how possibly could we? It's like giving the ownership of the alphabet to anyone or the English language. You know, that would be ridiculous. So it's like we had to wait to the right person that would come with such purity of intent to be able to give us that first seed capital that then we worked with to be able to launch. And also all the people that are working with us, Daniel, they're remarkable. I mean, all of us, we were really not making, we had like a super small stipend month after month because we believed in it. And right now, of course, if there's abundance, we share abundance. And if there's bounty, we share bounty. But we're always taking care that it's really for the right reasons and that the flows are kept within integrity. And so the I'm so, so thankful that we could find that person that said, you know, mm-hmm. I trust it. I absolutely trust in this. I don't want to own it. I don't want equity. These guys, this is yours. I'm going with you. And so we want to earn that favor with the different projects that we want to be able to fund. We want to be able to create the same thing. We do not want to create extractive mechanisms where the entrepreneurs have to risk everything. And also the venture capitalists, they don't have a good time either. I mean, really, for them, it's like all they invest in and they have like they're suffering. And then there are like the reports are not really the right reports and with the right energy. And it's just this whole thing with everyone that we need to be able to say, how do we work with this thing called money, really? While we transform it, how can we work it or work with it so that it really benefits everyone? So it's our big attempt to be able to do that and to do that in every possible way that we
and
can imagine.
What occurs to me as you say that is just, I remember just to bring up Occupy again, because I feel so much of a kind of, I don't know, there's some kind of commonality and consciousness here, but at Occupy, that people would be so angry at the bankers. And I would reflect like, you don't want to be a banker. It's not like they're exempt from the system. This is not about, you know, any enemy. It's about the whole thing. And there's such a beautiful elegance in seeing that. And I just, I don't know what to do except for celebrate that y'all have, I mean, it sounds like put a lot of thought into creating something that might and maybe will actually change some of the systems that make human beings do things other than create beautiful truth and goodness and care for each other as we are programmed deeply to do. And yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I guess the last question I might ask is if somebody is listening and they want to take part in what you have and are creating, what can they do?
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, our Telegram channel is very, very alive with people that are interested in all the crypto part and Holo and Holofuel and all that. Our Twitter is where we post a lot of our events. There are hackathons, events happening everywhere in the world. I think tonight is one in Seattle. There was one in New York recently. So we have some of those all over the world. So stay tuned to that. And we are very soon going to publish more opportunities on how we can help create a beautiful app ecosystem and how we can help other communities to have what they need to be able to create their own dreams and their own tools. So just stay tuned to our social media for now and keep coming and listening to these beautiful podcasts and keep inviting us so that we can keep talking about it and sharing and that's that. And play. Beautiful. Come play.
Well, thank you so, so much for coming on the show. It's a deep pleasure and an honor to host this conversation. Thank you.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you. You create a beautiful, beautiful space. And it was really fun to be here today.